Ephesians, the first chapter, hear the word of God. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the living God. Thanks be to God. Beloved in the Lord, I don't know if you have an inheritance or know of someone who has received an inheritance. Every now and then I'll look at the headlines, and ones that have caught my attention are those things that have to do with inheritances from people who are billionaires. I remember reading one time a billionaire, multi-billionaire, stated that his children were not going to get a dime. You know, can you imagine being a child of a multi-billionaire, Jeff Bezos or someone like that, or Elon Musk, and knowing that you've kind of been written out of the will, as it were, that you're not going to get much. That headline also, it kind of struck me. I often wondered, if I were one of those children, would I be sitting back and thinking, oh, wonder why I'm not gonna get a dime? I'm living pretty good right now, but Dad decided I'm not going to get all of this. I'm not going to get much of it. Well, whatever the case, that happens. I don't know if you have received an inheritance or not. I didn't think I was going to get any inheritance of any kind, but it happens that at the end of my mother's life, when things ran out for her, there was a small inheritance left of some of the money that was left over, and that was divided up five ways, of course, sister and brothers, and each of us got a nice little piece of that inheritance. So I have received one, maybe you've received one, maybe you know someone else who has received one. But an inheritance is something that we know something about. And that's what this passage speaks of. It speaks of an inheritance that is ours in Jesus Christ. And the inheritance is important, and what's important about it is who gets it and how they receive it. And that's what Paul talks about in this passage. He talks about who we are and how we get to be that way. That's what this first sentence is all about. And in fact, I want to point out, this is one of the most beautiful sentences in all of Scripture. If you haven't memorized it, I think you've kind of shorted yourself a little bit. I would encourage you to memorize it, beginning at verse 3 at least. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And he goes on, he talks about how we were to be holy and without blame before him. He predestined us in Christ, lavished it upon us, verse 8 says, with wisdom and insight, making known the mystery of his will. And all of this is done in Christ, as he gets to verse 10, because it was a part of God's plan. Verse 10 says, in the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things in earth. And to us, he goes on to say, we have, verse 11 says, obtained an inheritance. The we in this passage is the believer in Jesus Christ. The we in this passage is the one who has been predestined, the one who is in Christ, repeated over and over again. The church in this passage, the people of God, are the ones who are going to be the recipients of this marvelous, marvelous inheritance that he's going to talk about in verse 11 and 12 and 13. So let's look at what he says in verse 11. We are obtaining an inheritance predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. And then he goes on to say in verse 12, so that we who are the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. And here you see Paul going back and forth again with his language that speaks about the Gentiles and of Israel, but we now being the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of the ones that he speaks of in this passage are those who have been elected by God to the miracle of salvation. And that sovereign predestinating election is spoken of in this passage several times. Paul is not embarrassed by it. Paul doesn't stumble over it. He simply sets it forth as a marvelous comfort to us who are the people of God and reminds us that we are God's possession. We belong to God. We are his. And the significance of that statement, we are God's people, can be understood when we look at the Old Testament and see in the Old Testament how Israel was called the people of God. Remember in Malachi, he says of Israel, they will be mine, says the Lord Almighty, in a day when I make up my treasured possession. And now he takes those words and he applies them to Gentiles. And he says one of the most stupendous things in all of the Word of God, that Jews and Gentiles are now, what? On an equal footing in regard to the benefits of election and salvation in Jesus Christ. And those are the blessing. These are the blessings that come to those who are in Christ. They have an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to his sovereign will. The amazing thing is this, that in this passage, if you are Christ's, you belong to him. In Christ, that word in, or those words in Christ, appear over and over in Ephesians chapter 1 and throughout the Pauline epistles. And what it means is that we are a part of the spiritual seed of Abraham, and we are a part of that family, that nation that is now made up of those who are the seed of Abraham spiritually, and they are God's people. And Paul will go on in chapter 3 and talk about that, how things have changed and how the Jews now have become part of the family of God, but God has added the Gentiles as well. And because he has added the Gentiles to the kingdom of God, they are now part of the family of God. We are included in Christ. And that's the thing you need to underscore in your mind. We are Christians only if we are in Christ. In Christ, having been radically transformed, saved by grace, transformed from sinful God-hating despisers of God into those who are now consecrated to serve the living God, so that we can now say we live and die to the glory of God. We have been united to the one mystical body of Christ, and now we belong to God. And he has given us in this blessing an inexhaustible inheritance and a pledge of immortal life. And to those whom he has saved in Christ, Paul says, in him, verse 11, we, that is those who are in Christ, have obtained an inheritance. And the people of the inheritance are those who are in Christ. And the people in the inheritance are also those who are sealed, as he will tell us in verses 13 and 14, sealed by the Holy Spirit, which authenticates and appropriates that inheritance in our lives. And he gives us assurance that we are those who have been given this inheritance. Think for a moment of being a child of a billionaire and getting word that dad's not going to give you any money, or that dad has a little bit of money that he's going to give you. What assurance does that person have of whether or not he is going to receive anything? He really doesn't have much assurance at all. But God gives us an assurance that we will have this inheritance. In fact, that we have this inheritance. And that assurance here in this passage is the fact that he has sealed that promise to us with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the seal until the day of the redemption of the purchased possession. He seals it to us, and we already have that in us, that seal, that mark of ownership and authenticity. In the old days, of course, cattle and even slaves were branded and sealed by their masters in order to indicate to whom they belong. But those seals were external, obviously. God's seal is not external. God's seal is within our own hearts. He puts his Spirit within his people in order to mark them as his own. The Holy Spirit is the seal of God upon our hearts. Your heart has the seal and the presence of the Holy Spirit, and he assures you that you belong to God. You can say, I am his, and he is mine. That Holy Spirit dwelling within you assures you that he will preserve you, protect you, and the Holy Spirit assures you that you will receive the full inheritance that you have in Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you like to have that today if you were someone expecting an inheritance? I don't know as if there's any way that anyone could do that, but God has done that for us, assuring us that we are his, assuring us that he loves us, preserves us, protects us, and assures us that that inheritance is ours forever and ever. If you flip over in your minds to that passage in 1 Peter, we have an inheritance in heaven preserved for us. Nothing can take it away. Nothing can destroy it. Thieves cannot break in and steal it, Peter tells us. That inheritance is ours, and it is ours forever and forever. God gives us this wonderful assurance, and it's an assurance that is a down payment, as it were, a pledge that promises that the full benefits of salvation will be ours forever and forever. If you've ever bought a house, you know what it means to put down a portion of money on the house, and that's always a pledge that you're going to buy it. An engagement ring is a promise as well that there will be a marriage. And a deposit on a house is something that you put when you want to purchase a home, and yet it's not the full thing, it's just a part of the payment. But God has given us the Holy Spirit as a pledge a down payment so that we have now in our hearts and in our lives the foretaste of that glorious future endowment that belongs to us as children of God. And our possession of that inheritance, although it is incomplete at this time, will be complete in that glorious moment when we will be translated into the kingdom of God forever and ever. Right now, we have a partial and a fragmentary knowledge of God, but we have the enjoyment of that salvation because the Holy Spirit dwells in our hearts. But we have a certainty of the future possession of that inheritance because we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. Notice that Paul says this is all according to the purpose of him who works all things according to his will. It's all in God's plan. This all was according to God's purpose. This divine resolve is universal in sweep. The plan of the universe lies in the omniscient mind, and all of its events are in harmony with it. And this power is in unison with the infinite wisdom and the independent and undeviating purpose of God, in which he will do what he has purposed in every way. The Lord is going to carry out his purpose, and that purpose for you as a child of God and for me as a believer in Jesus Christ is that we will receive the full inheritance that God has for us in glory. Whether we are only a believer for a short time or whether we have been believers for a long time, the case is ours, the truth is ours, we will receive this glorious inheritance because we are part of the family of God. And we need to remember that in this passage, as it speaks of all of these things, it speaks of salvation that comes to us in spite of ourselves. That's how Paul begins. He begins in this passage by saying God predestined us. God chose us. And he chose us even though we were nothing. He chose us even though we were sinners. If you think of what he says in other places, we not only were sinners, but we hated God. We despised God by nature. But God loved us with an everlasting love. And he loved us not because we loved him, but because he chose us. And he chose to love us, not because of our particular character or anything that we have done. It is all of the grace of God. And that's what this wonderful passage teaches. And Paul emphasizes that in this passage. And in the second chapter of this passage, he reminds us that it is all by grace that we have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. So there is no self-glory. There is no one who can glory in himself. We must glorify the Lord who has loved us, the Lord who has saved us, the Lord who has come into our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit and granted us this seal of our inheritance and reminds us that he will give us the fullness of that glorious inheritance in that moment when Jesus takes us home. As you read through Ephesians chapter 1, I hope you'll read it, and I hope you will reread it and read through the intricacies of each and every part of these statements, recognizing the wonderful things that are contained therein, and think mightily upon what God has revealed, especially in verses 11 through 14. Of the fact that he has given us an inheritance and that he has predestined that for us according to the counsel of his will, and he guarantees that inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. What a wonderful passage this is, and may that passage, as you read it, reread it, read it again, memorize it, may it be a passage that causes you to give glory to God and thank him for his marvelous predestinating love, his grace that saves you, that brings you into the family of God. And to that end, we should give him the praise forever and ever. Amen.